The Von Wehhan Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehhan is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehhan will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehhan is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehhan, the barbarian.
Thursdays at 9 p.m.
Do you have a water softener that's not working? When was the last time you changed your filters? Call Water Treatment Technologies. We'll service your equipment to get the most out of it, not just try to sell you a new one. If you do need a new system, we only sell the best quality equipment at affordable prices. Water Treatment Technologies, 602-275-8280 or online at WTTAZ.com. Just better water, one satisfied customer at a time. Mention this radio ad for a discount.
Del Walmsley Show, weekdays at 2 p.m.
And that is, you know, you're happy when you're young because you're young, dumb, and have no idea where you're going. Everything looks like opportunity. You're miserable by midlife because you realize that everything you've done from 20 to 40 has not gotten you to where you thought it would get you. And you see that you have to still work another 20 years of your life. So you've struggled for 20. You see 20 more in front of you, and you don't see those results getting you where you want to be.
Everything you need to know about finance and real estate. For more information, MyPassiveIncomeSystem.com. MyPassiveIncomeSystem.com.
The information and opinions you hear on this radio show are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of KFNX, its affiliates, management, or advertisers.
Do you believe that America has become too politically correct? Von Wehhan speaks truth to power. Do you see the coming of our political and economic demise? Von Wehhan speaks bluntly about the need to correct America's course quickly. And now, broadcasting from the Eagle's Nest, a man who makes no excuses for putting America first. Here's your host, Von Wehhan, the Barbarian.
Tong, mein Kameraden, we are the true Avengers and intrepid warriors of America. And tonight, we are all shark hunters on the hunt and quest and thirst for real history and knowledge. And this is your dramatic warlord, stealth U-boat captain, and panzer group tank leader at the Führerbunker and the Castle on the Rhine as I brazenly and secretly broadcast from the mountain stronghold and wolf's lair of Radio Free America, using our Enigma code KFNX 1100 AM for the radio airwaves. Tonight we will again have the legendary World War II historian Harry Cooper on the show, part three of the Hitler in Argentina series. This will be amazing, where we will talk about Adolf Hitler in South America, the infamous organization codenamed Odessa, Der Spinne, which means the spider, and other German organizations that were active back in 1945 at the end of the war and who are still active today in South America and all over the world. They were the gladiators of World War II.
They were Hitler's elite bodyguard, the ruthless protectors of their Führer. But the Nazi regime's most loyal servants were also among the most feared gladiators of World War II. The Waffen-SS, the combat units of the SS, became famous for their tenacity on the battlefield. countless times on both the Western and Eastern fronts, Waffen-SS men were the cornerstone of the German defenses, fighting to the death, even when all hope had gone. They were respected by their enemies for their fanatical courage, but feared for their barbarity. Survivors of the Waffen-SS insist that they were just soldiers doing their duty.
Now, never underestimate World War II. It was truly when the world was on the brink, and it was barely a lifetime ago. About 75 years ago, it ended. And don't gloss it over or try to sweep it under the rug as ancient history just because we now live in a so-called digital age. For though World War II is over, we also know the history rhymes. And this show, and this world, is always a world at war. And tonight, the war is over, but its effects linger on.
The war is over. The SS, Hitler's elite paramilitary unit, a million strong, were hunted. But many escaped capture. Many believe a shadowy group known as the Organization of Former SS Members, or ODESSA, helped them evade justice. This powerful unit had a sinister mission: to create a Fourth Reich, a totalitarian regime of Aryan supremacy on a worldwide scale. This organization was first uncovered by famed Nazi hunter Simon Wiesenthal.
There was a period immediately after the Second World War when British and American organizations did pursue the Nazis with some rigor, but then that dropped off. So it was in the interests of Nazi hunters like Wiesenthal to make sure that the West took an interest in pursuing Nazi criminals.
It was later made public by novelist Frederick Forsyth for his bestseller, The Odessa File.
Wiesenthal hoped by manipulating Forsyth's novel that he could actually proceed further with the prosecution of certain Nazi war criminals, who would therefore be exposed in a popular novel.
There is one document that appears to be evidence of the beginnings of ODESSA. It is called the Maison Rouge Report. It details a secret meeting that took place on August 10th, 1944. Between Germany's top industrialists and SS leaders in Strasbourg, France, at a hotel called Maison Rouge.
Now, this is the show that brings history to life, that makes you feel more alive, shakes your conventional thought process, as we will reveal the cracks in history that were dusted over, only later to be revealed to all who hear the call. Tonight, we are Germanic Steel all across the land. You're not giving up one inch of America. This show is legendary. Harry Cooper will be joining us very, very soon. And tonight, it's going to be an incredible night. We're looking very, very forward to it. Stay tuned. Bring your friends. We start the show with this music from World War II. We'll be right back.
The Von Wehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Thursdays at 9 p.m.
Hey there, it's Jamie with Healthy Habit Health Foods at 6029 North 7th Street in Phoenix, Arizona, your favorite place to find the best quality nutritional and wellness products for a great price, including many of those hard-to-find items. Our family and staff are committed to bringing you the best customer service and product education. We've always got something fun and exciting going on to help support you on your journey towards healthier living. So check out our website, Facebook page, weekly seminars and events, and thank you for being a part of the Healthy Habit Health Foods family.
You can live like a VIP. Book beauty and wellness services at your home at affordable prices with the BoomZip.com app. Get mani-pedis, eyelash extensions, blowouts, updos, makeup, facials, dermaplaning, microneedling, yoga, men's haircuts and beard trims, a personal fitness trainer, nutrition counseling, and more. Get your BoomZip app from Google Play or the App Store. Use code HAPPY to get up to 25% off your first service. That's code HAPPY. BoomZip.com.
The Food and Drug Administration Safety Innovation Act makes it possible for you to receive information about your prescription drugs in multiple formats to educate you, the patient, on what you need to know before you take your medicine. This could make understanding your doctor's instructions much easier if you happen to be blind, have a learning disability, or other impairment. For more information, please talk to your pharmacist to find out what formats are available in your area.
And now, we return to the Von Wehunt Show, featuring Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Thank you for being here tonight. We have Harry Cooper coming on in a moment. He's with sharkhunters.com. Folks, go to that website. Books, video, incredible. He'll tell you more about it. And if you want to email Mr. Cooper, go to sharkhunters@earthlink.net. He wants to hear from you. Mr. Cooper, are you there tonight, sir?
You betcha.
How are you doing tonight?
It's been kind of exciting. I got a call from your producer. I'm sitting in my office, and all of a sudden some rat box truck pulls up in front of my house and shuts off the engine, and it's midnight here. So I went out with my .44 in my hand and just, who the hell are you?
That is the NSA, more than like they're trying to stop our show and our broadcast, probably CIA or rogue agents of the deep state.
Not in that old rat box truck. I sure hope our tax dollars are going for better stuff than that.
Well, I tell you what has happened here. We've had a lot of electronic harassment in status and
really?
Interjections when we're trying to broadcast with many people like yourself. I do believe they are listening, the deep state, and they don't like what they hear. We will continue to say it. So last couple of weeks, folks, we had part one and part two of this Hitler in Argentina series. And let's start with Hitler dying, I believe, in Bolivia, correct me if I'm wrong, on February 13th at 3 p.m. in 1962 in Bolivia there in South America, not in the Fuhrer bunker. Correct, sir?
Absolutely correct.
Thank you. Now, what do you base that on, just briefly for our audience?
Okay, that's a good question. So many people nowadays are coming up with so many theories and suppositions on just about everything without having any fact. We started, one of our members way back 1985 was a guy named Don Angel Alcazar de Velasco, and he was an agent working for the German Abwehr during the war. In the last few months of the war, he was in the Fuhrer bunker, and it was his job to gather data on certain things and present it to Hitler once a day. Mm-hmm. So he was familiar with Hitler, and they were not buddies, but they knew who each other was. And so he sent me a letter. This was in 1985-86, telling. Now, this letter was typewritten, single-spaced, 114 pages long.
Wow.
He was telling about how he was working in the Fuhrer bunker, and he led up to it, and he said he saw Adolf Hitler and Eva Braun forcibly drugged under orders of Martin Bormann and removed from the bunker.
Mm-hmm.
The bravado about we're going to fight to the last man meant we're going to fight to the last sergeant while the rest of us get out of town.
Exactly.
They had already found a place, and this we learned through our investigations, talking to people who were there, and he was brought down to Argentina because Martin Bormann, who by then was the power behind the throne, he wanted to keep the Reich alive, and he was going to need Hitler as a figurehead.
Mm-hmm.
Then things changed, and he decided he wasn't going to raise a million-man army to go start the fight over again. Rather, that Bormann had tons of money with him when he went to Argentina, and he had the numbers to the secret bank account, so he was in control of what, back in those days, would have been hundreds of billions of dollars worth of today's money. And so he founded approximately 750 corporations, many which are still in business today, huge international corporations. So I checked this guy out with one of our members, Captain Bob Thew, who was U.S. Navy intelligence his whole career, and then NSA.
Mm-hmm.
And he confirmed, yep, Don Angel was exactly who he said he was. And I said, yeah, when Captain Bob was in our house in 1989. I asked him about Don Angel, and he told me, yep, yeah, he was the spy he said he was. And I said, well, the guy must be a lunatic, I said, because he's telling me Hitler didn't die in the bunker. I said, everybody knows Hitler committed suicide in the bunker.
Right.
And just as calmly as if he was asking for another cup of coffee, Captain Bob said, no, he didn't. We know he got away. I said,
and,
who's we?
Yeah.
He says, the intelligence community. We knew he went to South America.
Yes, and we covered this in the last couple of shows a little bit, where our own government was given all these FBI reports and eyewitness testimony, et cetera. Now, Hitler died in Bolivia, and I've got to ask you this, and I know you probably can't divulge it, but do we know where Adolf Hitler is buried?
How's your weather out there in Phoenix?
That's what I thought. Well, I'll tell
you. Hotter than hell here.
We're hotter than hell, too. The blast furnace is on. This is what I've been told, and let me know if I'm just, from a scale of 1 to 10, let me know if I'm warm. You don't have to confirm it, but I have done some digging. This is just, again, this is people that
not
have told me this.
Buried in the basement of the hotel thing, is it?
No, I've heard that Adolf Hitler is buried in a Roman Catholic cathedral under the altar in Paraguay.
Yeah, that was, there are three alleged places of his internment. That's
mm-hmm.
one of them.
Mm-hmm.
In the town, I can't remember the name of the town. We went through that town. Because when you come out of Brazil, when you come out of Brazil, cross the border into Paraguay over the river, that's the first town, Asuncion.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That's supposedly where he's buried under the altar of a church.
Mm-hmm.
Another common theory
mm-hmm.
is under the floor in the basement of a major hotel in Asuncion. Asuncion is the capital city. That's where the hotel mm-hmm. is. The cathedral is in that city crossing into Paraguay. I'll find it eventually. The third one is the one we were told, and we believe Encarnacion. That's where the cathedral is, where he's supposed to be buried. That's right on the border. It's right at the tri-border area, with the border with Argentina and Brazil. So the under the altar of the cathedral is in the town of Encarnacion, and the theory of under the basement in the hotel that's in Asuncion, but
you know where he's really buried because you got the intel.
Yep,
you got the intel. And how many people other than you know the truth of where Hitler is buried?
Very few, from what I understand, except for the honor guard, the SS.
Mm-hmm.
Honor Guard, which are the kids or the children or the grandsons of the SS men who went down there. Thousands went down to South America right after the war. Perón was happy to see them because he was getting tons of money for this. Plus, as Hitler's escape is all detailed in my book, Hitler in Argentina. The next book is Hitler and the Secret Alliance. That explains how it was so easy, because Argentina had been colonized almost by tons of Germans and some Italians and some other Western Europeans from 1905 onward. So they had farms, they had ranches, they owned some the banks and some of the utilities, et cetera. So Germany had a big presence in South America. As a matter of fact, we dug up some photographs of some really top-of-the-line German troops, German uniforms, trucks, German half-tracks, German everything, except they were Argentine soldiers with all German equipment, et cetera, down there in 1941.
Mm-hmm.
So there was a huge German presence down there. Still is.
Yeah, in fact, I have told folks that when the Allies went into Europe, there were thousands of Third Reich, Wehrmacht, and SS troops that were missing and officers, and it baffled the Allies. They got out, and they simply moved their operations to South America.
Yeah.
And they moved their equipment and their money, and they had a network down there of families and extended families that had gone back for generations. And they had quite the setup for a long time. So
some of them, like the Eichhorn family.
Yes.
Eichhorn is a German word, means acorn. They had been sending money to Hitler during his rise to political power. They had sent him tons of money. And so we have photos of him having tea with the Eichhorn family.
What year was that?
That was taken in 1947. He looked pretty good for a guy who had been dead for 2 years.
Yeah. Yeah, dead men tell no tales unless they're having tea in South America with the Eichhorn family.
And we're pretty sure it was tea and not coffee, because Hitler frequently said, "Kaffee ist Gift, Tee ist schön."
Yes.
Coffee is poison, tea is sweet.
Hitler loved his hot tea. And in the next segment, please hang on, Harry, we're going to talk about Odessa and the other German organizations. Der Spinner. Folks, we have Harry Cooper here, legendary historian. He's been all over the world, Europe and South America. He's been boots on the ground. Please go to sharkhunters.com to check out his website. It's fascinating. He's got books and video and film, and be a member of his great magazine. Again, sharkhunters.com. We shall return after these brief messages.
In Massachusetts, police are investigating a death at the Kennedy family compound in Hyannisport. More detail from Bill Michaels.
The Kennedy family announced 22-year-old Saoirse Kennedy Hill passed away. The emergency call came in about 2:30 Thursday afternoon. The investigation into her death continues. Saoirse Kennedy Hill is the daughter of Courtney Kennedy and the granddaughter of Robert F. and Ethel Kennedy.
Right now, the cause of death is unclear. Well, President Trump says he's not worried about the missiles recently being tested by North Korea, calling them very standard short-range devices.
Correspondent Will Ripley.
North Koreans have indicated a willingness to continue working level talks with the U.S. In fact, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo was in Bangkok. He said that he's optimistic. He hopes that those talks will happen soon. So these launches, in some sense, are posturing, but also a reminder to the U.S. of what North Korea could do if talks don't go the way they want.
Just ahead of Friday's opening bell on Wall Street, right now, Dow futures down 38. I'm Elliot Francis.
From the KFNX WeatherBug Weather Center, for the rest of your morning, mostly sunny with a high today near 101, partly cloudy and 86 on your Thursday night. Your Friday forecast, mostly sunny and 106. Saturday, mostly sunny with a high near 109. I'm Tim Livingston from the KFNX Weather Center.
Currently in downtown Phoenix, it's 97 degrees.
Award-winning margaritas, superb Southwestern Tex-Mex cuisine, and a fabulous outdoor patio environment. Dine among the lighted trees, glowing fire fountain, and enjoy the fabulous atmosphere and ambience. You will never be disappointed. This is the Old Town Tortilla Factory, a Valley landmark for over 20 years. The Old Town Tortilla Factory is next to the Valley Ho Hotel at 6910 East Main Street. Call for reservations at 480-945-4576.
The Von Wehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Thursdays at 9 p.m.
America in the Morning. Mornings at 6 a.m. Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX. The home of America in the Morning.
Get the latest in real estate news from across the valley.
Shaken, not stirred, with a dash of anything goes.
It's all on The Real Estate Show featuring the Elton Brothers on KFNX.
Tune in Thursdays at 3 p.m. on Independent Talk, 1100 KFNX.
I'llFixYou.com. Therapeutic massage with trigger point therapy. This is real lasting pain relief. Regular massage is great, feels good, great for the body. But trigger point therapy corrects the problem that's causing the pain at the source, even decades old pain. Headaches, back pain, migraine, sciatic pain, and so much more. Safe, natural, and gentle, half the price of the big chains, only $50 per hour. Go to I'llFixYou.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Bob Marshall, PhD, host of Healthline. Tune in to get your questions answered.
Thank you, Dr. Marshall. Promote exquisite immune and cardiovascular support with Quantum Nutrition Lab's Quantum Garlic Complex, featuring bear garlic and allicin. Buy two bottles and get the third one free. Call 800-370-3447 or visit online at qnlabs.com.
And now, we return to the Von Wehunt Show, featuring Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Yes, the Barbarian is back. This is radio show episode 177. It's part three of our Hitler in Argentina series tonight. And we have Harry Cooper, the legendary historian from sharkhunters.com, if you're just tuning in with us. Harry, please continue. Let's fast forward now to Odessa, the secret organization that got the Nazis out of Europe, because there were many stories of our Allied troops trying to locate SS battalions and legions and officers, and they vanished in thin air. In fact, the Reich was moving people down months before the war because they knew that they were fighting a two-front war, and there's no way that they could have won World War II the way it was set up.
Yeah, one of our members was a Navigator Bombardier on a Heinkel 111, and they were dropping, this was toward the very last couple weeks of the war, they were dropping supplies to their troops, and he said, when they were in the air, they could see the Eastern Front and the Western Front at the same time, and they knew that, you know, the vice was closing on them.
Right. Absolutely. Now, Odessa is a group that got the Nazis out of Europe, and they're still active today as the Waffen-SS in parts of South America. Most people don't know that, but in your mind, Odessa and the other group called Drespina, are they still active worldwide today? Or can you comment on that?
I don't know about worldwide, but they're still active, yes.
Yes.
One of our members was working for Drespina up until last summer, and he just retired.
Mm-hmm.
Originally, Odessa, that's short for Organization Der SS, et cetera, et cetera. And Drespina, the spider web, was, among other things, set up to make sure money got from Europe to Argentina and distributed to some of the people living there, some of the Third Reich guys living there.
Right.
It was transferred from Europe. I don't know the starting point, but it went to the Banco Alemán Transatlantico, which means the German Transatlantic Bank, in Buenos Aires, and the director was a guy named Ludwig Freude. Freude is the German word for joy. Big deal. My name, Cooper, is an English word for a barrel maker. But anyhow, that's his name, Freude.
Right.
And in 1947, one of the Allied commissions sent forth an extradition order to Argentina for Ludwig Freude to be sent back to Europe. And Juan Perón's response was, Freude is my friend. He's not going anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
So he stayed there and finally died natural causes. And he's got a beautiful, huge marble marker on his grave in the German cemetery in Buenos Aires. Interesting, the Germans and the Brits were fighting one another in this terrible war.
Yes.
But yet they've both got beautiful cemeteries in Buenos Aires right next to one another.
Yes. Who would have known?
Yeah.
You know, now, can you tell us the country and all in which Adolf Hitler was buried? Just the country.
I think they've interrupted our...
Oh, I'm saying, can you tell us the country that Adolf Hitler is currently buried in?
I'm being facetious. I heard your question.
I know.
It ain't the U.S.
Exactly. Gotcha. Well, on a scale of 1 to 10...
I haven't seen the place, so I can't say for sure.
Right.
But our number one operative, a guy we call Pizarro,
mm-hmm.
gave me latitude, longitude, description, and we checked it out, and it looks exactly as he said it did. So I
gotcha.
Gotta believe it's on the mark.
Gotcha.
Unfortunately, we've got over 8,000 members, minus those who have died and some who have dropped out and a few I've kicked out. But we had one really great guy by the name of Jack Goodyear, who was a millionaire living in South Miami,
mm-hmm.
and he was really gung-ho to learn all this stuff, but his health was such that he couldn't travel. So he mm-hmm. financed our expeditions. We went down there, and we learned a whole lot of stuff. I've been down there 10 times. I'm going down again in November.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, Jack died a little over a year ago, and so now we don't have the expedition money. Shark Hunters is it's a labor of love. Nobody gets paid here. I don't get paid. Volunteers, everybody's a volunteer. Nobody gets paid, and we don't have the money to be heading down there. Even though it's not that expensive, a 2-week tour down to South America, we generally can do it for $5,000.
Sure.
But he's gone, and even though we've got a lot of multimillionaires in membership, we don't have anybody stepping forward to saying, hey, I'm the angel now.
Right. And folks, please fund and donate to sharkhunters.com. And they can reach you, I believe, at sharkhunters@earthlink.net.
Yes, sir. That's correct. And donations are tax deductible because it goes to our 501c3, which is a legal tax exempt organization. So anything that's donated is tax deductible.
Fantastic.
We've now, even had people donate cars.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we turn around, sell the car, and the money goes into
the
general fund.
Yeah. Absolutely. Now, when you were interviewing people in South America about Adolf Hitler and Martin Bormann and other Nazi officials, what did the locals say about Hitler or Bormann, their tastes, their mannerisms? I know they were, it was hard to know because they were probably, they had around-the-clock SS protection by real Waffen-SS soldiers and paramilitary around them during their many years in South America. But what have you heard about their personal, you know, traits and things of that nature?
They kept a very low profile.
Yes.
We were in, last year, I think it was, we were in Paraguay.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that's that's Berlin moved south.
That's what I hear, yes.
Yeah, a lot of towns have German names. Every place you go, you find places like the Edelweiss Hotel or the New Berlin restaurant, et cetera.
That's where we're going when the country implodes. I keep telling people, we're going to South America. We're getting the hell out of here if Trump loses because all hell's going to break loose.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, that one member I told you about who had been working for Die Spinne.
Yes,
until
hear about
that. A year ago, he retired. He sold everything he owns in Europe, and he bought a place in Paraguay.
Now, this was your spy, your spook friend that was living in Europe, and he's cashing out hurriedly, but in, you know, not to panic people, but he's getting the hell out of Europe, and he's shit with all the invasion there of the Third World. He's moving to Paraguay now, right,
yep.
As we speak in real time.
That's correct.
He wants to avoid the societal meltdown, economic catastrophe, I believe, what you had told me. What else can you tell me about this guy and his plans?
That's about all I can say
okay.
without having a problem.
Gotcha.
But Paraguay, we were there, like I say, about a year ago. And in this little town, I can't even remember the name of it, Santa something or another, everything down there, Saint this, Saint that.
Yes.
And they had a little museum for the foundation of that little town in the 1920s. It was founded by Germans in the 1920s. And so this nice lady opened her museum for us because it was that was the day of the week they were closed. And that couldn't have been 150, 200 people in the whole town anyhow. So it's a very nice lady, and she asked what we were doing there and in German. And I told her that at that particular day we were going to places that where Josef Mengele had lived.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, and she got a hard face. She says, I knew him. I didn't like him. He saved the lives of many people here, but I didn't like him.
Mm-hmm.
And then I showed her the front cover of my book, Hitler in Argentina, with a picture of Hitler. And, oh, her face just softened. Oh, der Führer, a wonderful man.
Mm-hmm.
So they were familiar with him down there. And one resort where we stopped, which is where Mengele kind of used as a headquarters, really in the jungle. This place was surrounded on three sides by hard jungle. And right after Eichmann was kidnapped,
yes,
1960, 61 or so, he was kidnapped because Perón had been thrown out of power in 55, and so there was no more protection for the guys from the Third Reich,
mm-hmm.
and they all had to scramble except guys like Eichmann, who was, he was broke.
Mm-hmm.
The so-called historians like to call him the author of the Final Solution or whatever.
Right.
He was not author of nothing. He was a lieutenant colonel. He was in charge of moving people around, and that's it. The people who laid out whatever.
He was a transport officer. Harry, please hang on, sir. We're going to get into some more good, juicy details in the next segment, folks. Don't go anywhere.
Everyone likes to save money. I certainly do. At TNT Liquidation, you can save 30 to 50% below what big box stores will charge you on a wide variety of products. TNT offers you flooring, ceramic tile, patio furniture, living and bedroom furniture, bedding accessories, and so much more. Brand name products at simply awesome prices. One person saved over $2,000 on flooring, another $250 on a single chair, and another saved $600 on a patio set. AT&T is a short drive from almost anywhere in the valley. Take the Avondale Boulevard exit off the I-10. We're right around the corner. I can assure you it's well worth the drive to save hundreds or thousands off brand name products. And TNT Liquidation now offers in-house financing with low down payments. We have new shipments arriving daily, so check us out at TNTLiquidation.com and see our expanding selection of products. That's TNTLiquidation.com.
The Von Wehunt Show. Conversation and analysis of breaking news, geopolitical events, politics, history, and some fun, too. Von Wehunt is an astute observer of the human condition. Von Wehunt will cut through the political correctness and speak bluntly about the social, political, and economic demise taking place in America and around the world. Von Wehunt is a nationalist who, without shame, puts America first. Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Thursdays at 9 p.m.
I'm Francis Battaglia, president of Independent Talk 1100 KFNX, and we're expanding our lineup of local talk shows. We're looking for individuals, business owners, and professionals to host their own radio talk show. This would be a new weekly show that either you pay for or help get sponsors to fund your show. You would pick the topic, select guests, and take calls from the listening audience. There is no experience necessary, and we provide training. Call me at 602-277-1100, extension 1463, 602-277-1100, extension 1463.
In Africa, 5-year-old Charu has no choice. She and millions like her must walk miles every day for dirty water. But together, we can end their walk by providing clean water close by. Instead of spending hours walking to get water that makes them sick, girls can be in a classroom that expands their minds, and moms will gain back time to care for their families. Sons and daughters can grow up strong, finally free of sicknesses caused by dirty water. At World Vision, care about clean water runs deep. Deep enough to reach one new person with clean water every 10 seconds. Because every child, every person, everywhere deserves clean water and the chance to rise to their full potential. It's true. When you just add water, you change a life. Learn more at worldvision.org.
Now, we return to the Von Wehunt Show, featuring Von Wehunt, the Barbarian.
Yes. There's an old World War II saying that goes like this. If you wait by the river long enough, you'll see the bodies of your enemies float on by. Now, folks, please support Harry Cooper and SharkHunters.com. They could really use some good sponsors for their World War II trips, Indiana Jones-style travel trips to the sites of World War II and the Third Reich in South America and even Europe. And Harry, thanks for staying here. I want to get into Mengele very briefly here, and I know in one, the story that he was in the hotel after they got Eichmann. The Mossad was after Mengele, and I believe the hotel manager pushed Mengele out the window to save him. Tell us about that story.
Yeah, it was a hotel owner who was friendly with those people because they. I was there at that hotel. And we saw the meeting room where they had their meetings. I talked to an older lady who said she saw them there. She saw Mengele all the time. She took us to the two rooms that he used to use, room 26, if he was alone, because it was a single room, or room 28, if he had people with him, because there was a double bed and three single beds. So I imagine that would have been his security. And it literally backs up, like I say, right into jungle. Jungle, not a woods or a forest. I mean, serious jungle. And so the owner, I guess the Mossad thought they were going to have another coup like they did with Eichmann. And they come storming in the front gate, six of them, I've told. And the owner shoved Mengele out the window in his underwear. And these six Mossad guys didn't do quite so well as their buddies. They wound up with their throat slashed and dumped in the jungle.
Yeah, so, folks forget they had their security details and they were ruthless and they meant business.
They meant business, boy. They sure did.
Right. And I tell folks today, there's very few people alive today that had the mettle of the Allies or the Axis powers of World War II. They meant business back then. Hitler was not playing around, folks.
Yeah, and he wasn't playing a game. Stay alive.
Right. He wasn't playing some video game.
Right.
And he was playing for keeps, you know.
They didn't want to wind up in a glass booth back in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv or wherever they took Eichmann.
Can't blame the guy. I wouldn't either, you know.
Yeah.
Get the hell out of town while you can. Well, I would say this, that no country can withstand 40 or 50 countries, you know, attacking it on two fronts. I don't care what country you are. Germany was being squeezed from both sides.
There were about 93 countries in the Allies, but, you know, some of them, like the Bahamas, they were really not much of a threat.
True.
But, then, you know, the United States, nobody could match the productivity of the United States.
That's right.
England, they put forth a hell of an effort. And Russia, they could afford to lose 1 million men today because they'll send in 2 million more tomorrow.
Right.
Boggles
the mind, you know. But that's why I always say that World War II was when the gauntlet came down across the world. And it's just amazing, the history. Now, when you talk to people now in South America, if you can tell us more of your anecdotal stories on this last segment about what people thought of the Germans coming in, and any stories about that. You know, they came in by U-boat, by plane, by all kinds of means.
Yeah, that came in mostly by ships, tramp steamers, et cetera, after the war. Now, there were a few U-boats that came down there. Hitler himself did not escape on board U-530s, some of the worthless books that followed and copied mine come along with. They claim that he left on U-530, but we know Hitler was in the Führer bunker on his birthday, the 20th of April, 1945. He was in there for his birthday. It wasn't until the 23rd that he escaped or was taken out. But on the 20th of April, he was in the Führer bunker, but U-530 was already 3 days out to sea. And in one of the books, it mentions that the skipper of U-530 opened sealed secret orders. And that baloney. I knew the skipper. He was a member of Shark Hunters. And there were no sealed secret orders. He was sent to New York on a combat mission. This was still when the war was going on, April. Germany had not capitulated yet. So he went to New York, fired at a few ships, missed them, and then they got the radio message that the war was over. They were supposed to surrender to the closest ally, and they said, no, forget it. Some of the crew had relations, relatives in Chile, so they were going to go down around Cape Horn and go up to Chile where they knew they could be safe, and they were going to go there. But they got into such heavy weather in the South Atlantic that they used up too much fuel, didn't have enough fuel to make it to Chile. They got all the way down south of the Punta Mogales Light, which is way, way south in Argentina. And then they decided, no, we can't make it. So they turned around and came back to Mar del Plata, which was a big, right now it's a huge big resort town, also a big Argentine Navy base. And so they surrendered there at the Argentine Navy base. And, you know, rumors are that, oh, they must have stopped to let Hitler off. And, no, they didn't stop anywhere. And, like I say, the submarine was already out to sea 3 days before we knew Hitler was still in Berlin. So he came by plane. Germany had built three huge six-engine transports. JU-390s. The third one never finished building. The second one was 3 meters longer than the first one, so it had more fuel capacity. It had 7,000-mile range, and they left. He got to Norway, and I know you only got a few minutes left, so I won't go into that. He got. He was flown to Norway, and then from Norway all the way down to Uruguay on board this JU-390. We got a hand drawn chart that our guy Pizarro dug out of some file that we don't talk about. And when I was down there a year or two ago, Martin and I, he's my guide, we followed this map. It was exactly like it was drawn out. And we saw the huge meadow where this big airplane landed.
With Hitler on board.
Yes.
And
the plane could land, even though it was a huge aircraft, about the size of a 757, it had a lot of wing area. So takeoff and landing speed was in the area of 60 knots, which is no big deal. And it had a whole big landing gear, so it landed in the meadow. And we were going down the old road out there in what was a German-developed colony that started back in the 1920s. And about every quarter mile there was a house, and we'd go in, and usually it was only the widows left.
Right.
And they all either heard the story or they heard the airplane actually land. And one lady was trying to be coy, I guess. It was hot. She had a string T-shirt on, a spaghetti T-shirt, whatever, and her arms were crossed on the table in front of her, and she said, "There were no Nazis here." And there were three swastikas tattooed on her forearms.
Classic. Love it.
Yeah. We tracked down the lady whose father owned the estancia where the plane landed. And she and her husband were very gracious, invited us in. And we told them we don't do ambush interviews. We told them who I was and what I was there for. And they were answering questions and nice, easy softball questions to get everybody calm and settled. And then I said, "What about the big plane that landed on your father's estancia?" And she and her husband both gave that nervous little ha-ha laugh. And she says, "Oh, that never happened." She said, "That was three years before I was born, but that never happened." And then she said, "But somebody did call the authorities and the prefect of police himself, which is like the state commander of a highway patrol or something. He came out there himself." And then everything went silent about that.
Of course. Harry Cooper, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. Folks, go to sharkhunters.com. We've been talking to Harry Cooper, legendary historian. I thank you, sir, and have a great night.
My pleasure. You guys have a great night, too.
You bet. Harry Cooper, folks, we're here every Thursday night. World War II, history, geopolitics. We know Adolf Hitler got out of Europe. He flew down to Uruguay. We have the airfield. We have eyewitness testimony. He did not die in the bunker in Berlin. Folks, he got out, as well as thousands of other Third Reich and SS officers. That's the real history of World War II. What now, you know. And I shall return next week. Thank you.
The information and opinions you hear on this radio show are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the opinions